What's going on, everyone? Thanks for checking out the first episode of Fan World. I'm your host, Lucid Dreams. Today, I'll be bringing you two great conversations. First, I spoke with Painted about his rookie class, highlights from his rookie season, being a gray duck, and more. So kick back, relax, and enjoy. All right, we're being joined here by Painted. Painted, thanks for taking time out of your day to be here with us on the first episode of Fan World.
Yeah, man. Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
First thing I wanted to ask you, your Sim League experience. So this is your first time doing a Sim League, correct?
Yep, it is. I joined back in January, the season 28 class, and just got drafted by the ISFL now, Chicago and everything. It's been a great league so far, and I've really enjoyed it. Minnesota's been great. The locker room's just been fantastic.
So how did you come to find the ISFL? Was it somebody recruited you, or was that something you happened to stumble upon on your own?
Yeah, so as many people did last season, it was called the Reddit class because they post in the NFL subreddit a bunch, like maybe once every three seasons, something like that, once a year or so. So that was Reddit class, and I joined via that link. I actually saw that a bunch of times before. Like, they posted, obviously, in the past, like a couple years ago, I think is when they first started. They've always intrigued me, so I just always like wanted to try it. But every time I did, I clicked on the link, saw this nasty forum site that I haven't used since, you know, back in like 2007 or something like that. And I'm just like, wow, this looks really old. I don't see where the football is, for example. And I'm just commit. And so like this season though, I finished up college and everything, so I had free time. I was just like, you know what, I'm gonna actually try to like commit this time because like it sounded interesting to me. And like recently I wanted to play like Madden and stuff, build up my own like team from scratch and everything. But every time Madden just like disappoints me because of like, you know, glitches and things, like being able to just cheese it. So like this I thought was a good alternative, and man, it has been. I've really enjoyed it so far.
You know, that's something I can definitely relate to. I know when I started, when I first stumbled across that forum page, I was like, man, what is going on here? It was definitely was a little overwhelming there. That's awesome. So what was your favorite part about being a gray duck?
Oh, yeah. So definitely the locker room. Like, I'm in there all the time, spamming chat, bothering all the people. For example, last season, my GM, CeCe, he was fantastic. He brought me into the league pretty much from scratch, if anything. But he was a great guy. He was like really able to help me pretty much like build my player, make sure I'm not like missing anything. If I had questions, he answered. So same with Russ. Russ, his first season as a GM, fantastic job. I mean, like me, Shrub, and Greg, we made an article about them, nominating for them for GM of the year, and because they deserved it. Like, they were just phenomenal. But also, like, everyone else in the locker room was great. Like, for example, Shrub and Greg, I've already mentioned, made really nice connections with them, so they both joined at the same time. Mango now as well, and also like all the other like not rookies, for example, like Negs is all over, and it's really fun to make fun of your quarterback and everything, because like there are many games where he threw many interceptions that you're just like, why?
That's something I'm definitely looking forward to checking out for this season, this being my first getting a chance to experience a full simulation game aside from the Prospect Bowl.
Oh yeah,
got a little taste there.
Oh yeah, the Prospect Bowl is really fun to actually like see your player in action, where it's just like no longer just, you know, a name on the spreadsheet, but finally actually could see the dot go.
And then having a forced fumble and a sack and a fumble recovery in the Prospect Bowl really definitely sunk me in there.
Oh yeah, and just like it brings back football, because this is the offseason in the NFL, for example, and college, but actually like you have a small glimpse of actually real football when watching these dots go.
So you mentioned the locker room for Minnesota, but I know Minnesota missed the playoffs last year. What is it that Minnesota needs to do to take the step forward to make it to the playoffs or even get to the Alta Mini?
Well, I think that needs to be answered by like going back in the past. Let's like build up why we missed the playoffs in the first place. So we started the season 0-4. It was awful, to say the least. We went heavy in the draft and defense last season. I mean, I was drafted in defense. Craig was converted to a cornerback, among others. Mango, Scorch, for example. We had a great defense. I mean, I think that was undeniable. I think we had the best defense in the league, if I remember from the Rough Index. But because we committed so hard on defense, we struggled on offense. We had a really great running back. Hayes was fantastic. I think they won running back of the year last year and like offensive rookie of the year, I think. And so they continued their fantastic play into this season. But again, Neggs. Neggs is the interception king. And there were many games when Neggs just would throw like, you know, 2-3 interceptions. And it doesn't matter how good the defense plays. If the other defense is like getting that kind of day, well.
Oh, yeah. If your offense isn't holding on to the ball, that's definitely going to cause an issue when it comes to trying to compete for wins there.
Oh, yeah. Also, like our punter slash kicker, Gluteus Maximus, they were great. Like they were able to like, you know, punt the ball maybe 50 yards, maybe more than that, and like pin them. But doesn't matter because they just we would always like punt it from our 50 yard line because like we couldn't drive. So yeah, it's a touchback now. Like,
yeah,
it's like that.
So you're coming off of your rookie season in the DSFL. How was it compared to what you were expecting?
Yeah, so it was actually quite fun because like I came in with like pretty low expectations, you know, because like rookie season and all that. Don't want to like set your expectations too high. But I just kind of off a safety of the year season. And like I think that alone exceeded my expectations. My player was pretty much the captain of the defense. Not really the captain, but like with the stats he was like producing, he put up phenomenal numbers. I think he had like an average of 7 tackles a game, which for safety is almost unheard of.
Oh yeah, it's phenomenal.
Linebacker numbers. You were saying?
Was there anything that surprised you coming out of last year?
The biggest surprise probably was missing the playoffs because after our 0-4 run, we went on a 5-2 run after that or something like that. And then the last two games, though, we just laid a dud. We just needed to win one of those last two games, and we couldn't win either. And then after that, we waited for, I think, the Kansas City game, and then Kansas City won when they were playing Dallas, who was the best in the league, and somehow beat Dallas to make it to the playoffs.
So as you mentioned, you were drafted this season. What are you expecting for next year, and what are you bringing to Chicago?
Yeah, so unfortunately, while I'm drafted this season, I still have to be sent back down. Chicago's having a little bit of a money problem recently. Now, I don't really mind that because, like, I love the Grey Ducks and being able to spend another season with them. I actually kind of expected that. But if we're talking about the future for my ISFL career, I'm probably going to be down at least one more season. It's to be determined after that. But after that one more season of DSFL, I'll be able to, like, you know, take that starting role in ISFL, probably become not, the best player on the defense, but a key player. I mean, I'll be a starter, obviously, because they're going to replace – I'm going to replace one guy. I can't remember who it was or the position, but on defense, I'll be replacing him when he eventually retires, I believe. So, like, I'll be coming in as a starting role, and that'll be a nice role there.
So you mentioned not sure what position that is. So does that mean you're going to be using your position switch?
I will be, as a matter of fact. They're loaded on safety. That's actually why I didn't really expect to be drafted there. If we go back to the conversation between me and Greg, that was one of the biggest talking points. Yeah, they're loaded on safety. Thunder Titan is their biggest safety. And they have like two others, one that just was drafted last season before this draft, and like another like starter right now. So they were stacked in that position. But again, I think it's cornerback is probably where I'll be switching to. Again, I was in talks with CeCe. That things can always change. You never know. So as far as I'm aware, though, DSFL, state of safety.
So your favorite part of your rookie season, what was your highlight, thinking back to everything that happened for you last year?
All right, so I have my own highlight, then I have my Grey Ducks highlight. I'll start with my own highlight. The reason why is because it's not as great as the other one. The last game of the season, again, we lost Kansas City. However, the start of the game, my player had one of the greatest starts. I think he recorded a sack and an interception and a pick six all in the first quarter. Then we started the game out 7-0 because of that. And we thought, oh yeah, we have this nice strong lead. We can just carry it through all the way. And again, watching your player, you know, score a pick six or any kind of touchdown, you just get super hyped, especially if it's a defensive touchdown. Well, I then watched our team deteriorate after that. Kansas City obviously comes out and starts destroying us. Now the better highlight though is one that came against the Portland Pythons. I can't remember the week. Let me just double check it real quick. It was week 10. So Portland Pythons at that time, I think undefeated. If not, they only lost one game. And they were the best team in our division. The division we were in is Portland, London, Kansas City, and us. And we were, at the time, I think, either third or last in our division. But regardless, we had this huge run. We were on a three-game win streak. Maybe we lost one at the time. Regardless, it was a win streak, nonetheless, within the past four games. And if we beat this team, we thought for sure the Pythons that game, we'd be in the top spot for second. And like we'd almost lock in second, we'd win like one or two more games after that. So it was a big game. This game was super tight. I think it's tied like 19-19 throughout most of the game. I'm sorry, 14-14 most of the game. We then kick a field goal in the fourth quarter to bring up the lead. I think that's how it went. So now the Pythons are driving with only 2 minutes left. And they are driving. They're now down to their 20-yard line. And they all got into the kick is field goal. You know by now it's a gimme. Well, the other safety on our team, Snowy, his player comes out and picks them off. And just runs it back for another 5 yards just to rub it in. And the locker room just went crazy because of that phenomenal game-sealing interception where we thought now for sure we'll go into the playoffs. It didn't end up that way because we lost the next three games out of four, but it was still a phenomenal game to watch.
That's fantastic. I like that your favorite memory of your rookie season doesn't have anything to do with your player at that point either.
Oh, yeah.
That shows you how connected you are to that Minnesota locker room.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Plus, it was just so clutch. I mean, again, my pick six came in the first quarter. This one came in the fourth quarter in the last 1 minute. Oh, you can't beat that.
So do you have any advice for rookies like myself that are brand new to sim leagues?
First and foremost, it's get active and get that money. You're already way ahead of the game because like, when I was in your position last time, I think I made – zero articles. I made an article after the draft, not before it. I mean, I made that one for the point task, obviously, but besides that, nothing. The fact that you and all the other rookies that are coming in are already making media and everything, that you're ahead of the game. I mean, that's how you stay in the league. That's how you get invested. And that's what you should do, get invested. Because then you'll really enjoy it even more when you start playing well.
Well, I know I stumbled across it myself. And I wasn't sure if this was going to be something that I enjoyed or not. And then once I got through watching the draft for you guys and then getting to that prospect bowl, it was just something that just sunk the nails in and hooked me in right away at that point. I knew I was invested. And it was just seeing what I could do to bring something to the table that I know I've seen other podcasts on here, but I'm hoping to bring something weekly, something that if people enjoy it, they can search out and find.
Of course. And honestly, I was right there with you, the Prospect Bowl. I didn't get to watch. There were three of them, I think. They spread out. And I only got to watch the second and third one. But watching those second and third ones actually like hooked me too. So I share that feeling with you. But yeah, this podcast, if you keep it going, it'll be an easy money bang for you. And that's what you should strive for. Especially if you keep enjoying it. Like, if you enjoy it, this leagues are fun. That's the point.
So speaking of bank, you were recently hired as the banker.
That's right.
What made you apply for that position?
So I think first and foremost, I thought it was a relatively easy position, but at the same time, something I could keep up with. I mean, a lot of times you don't know how often, like, for example, just today, Negs is constantly checking his bank account to see when his money is processed. That's something I do too. If I'm able to like help someone, you know, process their transactions, that's what I wanted to do. Plus, again, it was easy and I have familiarity with spreadsheets and all that. I'm active pretty regularly with the Discord and the forums. So I thought, yeah, that should be a good position. I think I'm a fit for it. And they gave me the role, so I think they agree.
So is that where this ends for you? Or are you looking for just something easy that you can do on your spare time with it, or are you trying to advance a little bit further in the league? Do you have a role that you'd like to get to at some point?
Well, you do mention a future role, and right now I'm a scout for the Minnesota Grey Ducks, and so far, that alone I've really enjoyed. But, I mean, maybe I'm probably leaning towards GM eventually. It'll take some time. I'll have to get, like, used to things and, like, look for an opening. Thing is, about the GM position, though, it's going to be hard for me to, like, go anywhere besides the Grey Ducks. And ISFL, that's to be determined because you really do want to go DSFL GM first, obviously. But I think GM is probably something I strive for. However, I know there are a bunch of people also in line for that. Meg seems to be in line. Greg also wants to be a GM. So I'm in no hurry. At the same time, that's something I would like to do, you know.
So I got one final question for you before I let you go. Are you a gamer? I know you mentioned Madden earlier.
I would say I am a gamer. However, I'm more of a casual one, I guess. Many of the games I play aren't like shooters. They're typically like platformers like Mario and Zelda. I love Nintendo, most things. Like, I love Pokemon for one thing. So yeah, I would say consider myself a gamer. Obviously, Madden, FIFA, those are the games I play like casually as well. I just don't like to be disappointed in the game. When I see something that's like a game-breaking bug, like in FIFA, I remember vividly. There's this feature where if you change their cleats, the player's age resets to 55 or something like that. That's something that irritates me, and that makes me like stop playing a game. But I enjoy many games like that. And again, Nintendo consoles, Nintendo games are one of my favorite pastimes.
What are you playing right now?
What am I playing right now? Well, I'm probably playing, not probably, I'm playing Super Mario 3D World, the Switch remake, because I don't have the Wii U. I'm really enjoying that right now. But if you're asking for games I should recommend, Mario Odyssey and Breath of the Wild, on the Switch at least, those are two of my favorite games right now. And then, obviously, any classics like Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time or Majora's Mask, you can never go wrong.
Favorite game of all time?
Well, actually, I already mentioned it. Majora's Mask. Majora's Mask is just probably my favorite game because it's just so good. It's a story-driven game in that you have like 3 days to save the town. Not the entire world for once. It's just the town from a moon crashing into the town. Well, you only have 3 days. And when you realize with playing this game, 3 days isn't enough. You can't save everybody at the same time. And it with that driving point, you get to reset time. Like, you get to play the game over and over, but every time you reset, you can't save everyone. You can only save some people. And that's, like, one of the biggest takeaways of that game. It's just, like, you, no matter how well you succeed at life, you can't win it all. And at the same time, though, the story it tells, showing every person, every NPC have their own story, it just, like, really drives home that point that everyone's unique. And everyone can't be saved, though you really wish you could save them.
Well, Painted, I truly enjoyed our conversation today. I'm looking forward to having you back on if that's something you'd be willing to do at some point.
Before you...
And I really appreciate your time.
Before you, I do go. I did have something to ask you. You looking forward to the draft?
Oh, I'm definitely looking forward to the draft. It's honestly, the wait between the Prospect Bowl and the draft has been probably the longest days of my life. When it comes to any kind of gaming or, you know, playing simulation, whatever you want to call it, it's, I cannot wait to see what this next step is and to see where my player gets to call home and where I get to advance. You know, I've had the luxury of being able to spend time in a majority of the locker room so far in the DSFL. And it's just going to be nice to see which one I actually get to belong to when it's all
teams
said and
done.
Your
radar?
So I think that's what I'm looking forward to the most. I have a few teams on my radar. There are quite a few that I'm, like I said, I'm in six of the locker rooms right now. I have my favorite, of course, and then I have about two other teams that I really wouldn't mind going to. But at the end of the day, I'm just looking forward to being a part of it. And I'm looking forward to going somewhere that I can actually make a difference and help out. So whoever drafts me, it's going to become my favorite place to be, and it's going to be where I try to put a lot of work in. And I'm, like you mentioned earlier, I've been doing what I can to produce media or try to earn extra cash and max out as much TP as I can during the week. So I'm just looking forward to contributing somewhere.
That's a fantastic mentality, and I think any team will be happy to have you, honestly.
Right on, Painted. I appreciate your time.
As well. Thanks. I'd love to join again.
Absolutely. We'll have you on soon.
Painted was awesome, wasn't he? I'm really looking forward to having him back on. Next, I got a chance to catch up with Katasa and discuss his role as GM, what makes Tijuana different, his time as a rookie mentor, and plenty more. Enjoy.
So how long have you been part of Sim Leagues?
So it by definition, so a Sim League like the ISFL, this one would have been my first. But I have done stuff in Madden and NBA 2K before, where I was online with like a bunch of other people, you know, up to like 32 other users, and we'd do Sims, but it just kind of wasn't cutting it for me. So then I joined this one. So I've only been in the ISFL for about, what would it be, about 6 or 7 months now. I joined in August, middle of August. So
how many seasons is that being in August? Is that what, two now?
Three. No, I think I'm in my fourth, because I did two in Tijuana and I just finished my second in San Jose. So now I'm in my fifth. I'm going into my fifth season now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned Tijuana. What makes Tijuana different from other teams?
Oh, it's just special, man. Tijuana is it's often referred to as a cult, and I get why. It's just kind of unique from all the other locker rooms that I've been in. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of people buy into the kind of the culture there. They have the most championships of any other DSFL team, which really doesn't matter for, you know, championships don't matter a ton in the DSFL level, but it's just, it kind of brings that like prestige to it. Like, hey, you, it's kind of like you went to the Patriots, you know? But the culture is far from the Patriots. You know, people love it. There's all sorts of mixes of vets and rookies. I came in with a really, really good class. The season 25 class had some of my favorite people in the league in it. I actually just met one of my teammates from Tijuana this past weekend, which was really, really cool to meet him in person.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. We both happened to be in the same area and we went and caught a couple drinks. So I guess it's tough to say like what specifically makes it great. I'd say it's just the locker room, just because you have so many different people from all around the league. You know, you've got people from season two who still hang out in Tijuana locker room, you know, up into, you know, we've got, I think there's four ISFL GMs that are associated with Tijuana right now. Yeah, yeah, and a couple of them are pretty, you know, Philly, San Jose, technically, CK was on Tijuana for a couple seasons. Myth Randier, who's the GM in NOLA, Rector was the GM, is the GM in NOLA also, and he was with us for a little bit. I'm trying to think of who else is here. DeWalt was with us for a little bit, who's the GM of Berlin. So yeah, we got a lot of people that kind of come out here. So
well, that's definitely impressive when you can list off a list of GMs that have played for Tijuana or been in Tijuana.
It's you know, and there's past GMs too, like Big Red, who's one of the best people in the league. I really hope hopefully you get to meet him and chat with him sometime, because he is fantastic.
So what influenced the closed locker room?
You know, I'm actually the wrong person to ask. Coming in season 25, I didn't even know it was closed. I assumed, to be honest, I didn't think Tijuana had any interest in me, really. I had good talks with Myth, the guy who drafted me, but they didn't invite me to the locker room like all the other teams did. Them and Norfolk were the only two. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, they're not interested in me. But I think part of it's just kind of, it helps keep things clean. I know a lot of DSFL teams and a lot of ISFL teams have the open locker room, and there's nothing wrong with open locker rooms. I'm in a lot of them, but being able to kind of have that kind of that controlled environment where, you know, pretty much everyone bleeds red and green in Tijuana. So it's kind of like just the boomers, the league boomers, as we call them, getting together and kind of reminiscing, and all the new guys really get into it. So I think it's just to keep it clean, mainly. I know there's been a couple incidences in some of the other teams' locker rooms. I won't name names or anything, but where people like came in and just messed things up for them, and it kind of just ruins the vibe. So I think that's it. But if you're asking me for a direct reason, I don't really have one, you know.
So keeping the locker room closed, you guys reach out on a personal level to interact with prospects. Mm-hmm. Do you ever feel like that might hinder the relationship building process that you have with your potential draft picks?
Not at all. To be completely honest, you look at some of the people who we got this past season, Ju, Shuff, Shine, or no, Shuff wasn't this past season. I'm sorry. I'm just looking at the locker room real quick. Shiny, Lonnie was our late round steal, and they all have just bought in. I'm in, I just took over GMing this past off season, so I wasn't the GM before. But I've been, I'm in their DMs. I'm making sure that they're finding the league okay, trying to help out. I do that as a rookie mentor anyways, so it's a little bit easier for me. So that's kind of how I do that. So I don't really think it hinders the ability to build that relationship because they kind of get to know the leadership there first, and then if they like us, they're gonna love everybody else, you know?
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. I know I've in my process of being recruited as a prospect, I know I've spoken with you and a couple others at Tijuana, so I know the conversations can definitely be had on a little different level instead of hanging out in the locker room.
And I think our kind of style of scouting that we've been trying to, push that. I don't know if it's different from other teams. I feel like it was different from when I was getting scouted, and other teams are starting to pick up on this. We really don't. We have a quote unquote questionnaire. It's more of a joke questionnaire than anything, but we really try and avoid the, hey, here's a list of 10 questions, answer them. Okay, bye, type of deal. I'm not super big on that type of scouting. I think that it's fine, and I think every other GM in the DSFL has been doing a fantastic job. We've really been pumping out some good users in smaller draft classes, but that's just kind of how we do it here.
Yeah, I know a lot of the questions I was asked during the scouting process were similar, but it seems like every team has a little different way of doing things. I did get to experience, like you said, oh, hey, hi, I'm so and so with this team. I'm obviously not going to name names, but I'm so and so with this team here. Answer these 10 questions, and then as soon as you're done with the 10 questions, it's the invite to the locker room, and then never hear from you again.
And that's something that we really try to avoid is people kind of getting lost in the shuffle. I know that was actually a big thing when I first joined the league. And I joined in a class of like 200 people, so it's a little bit different. So I don't really blame them when the class is that big, but when the class is like 40 active people, there's no reason that I can't reach out to 40 people and just have a conversation with them over the course of like 3 to 4 weeks that we get.
Yeah, I mean, even not on a personal level, but like I know I found the teams where I've hung out in the locker rooms during this process for me has been the teams who at least made an attempt to, I guess, interact with the prospects that were around. Made me feel kind of like, okay, these are the teams that want to interact with me, so it draws my attention, I guess, more to those locker rooms and more to the people in those locker rooms.
Oh, definitely. I was big in London and Minnesota's locker room before I got drafted. And those are the two spots I was hoping to go to most. And then I didn't, and I'm happy yet, not to sound like, oh, those places suck or anything like that, but I'm happy I didn't because I'm so happy in Tijuana, and I've really invested into them, so.
I definitely understand that. Those are the two locker rooms that I'm probably the most active in at the moment, would be Minnesota and London.
They got a fun time in there, man. I'm still in the Minnesota one. I don't think I'm in London's anymore, but if Slate listens to this, please invite me back.
So, what made you decide to become a rookie mentor?
So I have recruited, as of now, I've recruited three real players, one fake player, and then one of my other buddies. That's a whole different story. He doesn't have a player, but I recruited my first two recruits were two of my really good friends in real life. They're still in the DSFL, Quavius McGrady and LeBron James. They both play for Portland, and I spent a lot of time helping them out, like hours. I'd have them come over, we'd get everything set up, I'd help them with their wiki pages, the rookie tasks, media, anything they needed. I was there for them. Obviously I get TPE from it, but I more just wanted them to enjoy it because those were two guys that I did Madden leagues with. We didn't do sim leagues. I didn't do sim leagues with them. We'd play all our games, but I did that with them and I thought they'd really enjoy this league. So I took it on myself and tried to get them in the league and tried to really get them invested. And I just kind of figured, hey, I'm working my butt off for these guys. I don't mind working my butt off to help people get into the league. So a rookie mentor spot opened up. I applied and I got in, and I love it. I think the only thing I mess up is waivers. I'm really bad at that, but now that I'm a GM, I don't have to do that anymore. So kind of lucked out. So for the next like 2 or 3 seasons, I'll be good. So
That's awesome.
So that's kind of what got me into it was I was just helping out my buddies and I was like, hey, there's a whole job in the league based around this. I should apply for it because they said I helped them out a ton.
I know you were pretty important in my creation too. You helped me out a ton,
I was,
you
and
know,
I'm
just
happy to,
getting
man.
started.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for.
When I was struggling with my wiki pages, I'm not sure exactly where I came across your name being the one. I think it was you responded to one of my posts for help, and I know you were able to answer all my questions and get me going on the right path there. So.
Yeah, it ended up looking real good. I do the wiki, and they just asked me if I wanted to grade wiki stuff, so I'm pretty on top of that, and I don't mind helping people out. I just kind of associate that as being like part of my rookie mentor job as well, you know?
How did you end up working with the wiki pages?
So when I first joined, so I hate media. I do a lot of it. Well, I did a lot of it before I got my league jobs, but I hate it. And not because of like it's bad or anything like that. I'm just not very creative. And I'm really self-conscious about the way how I write. So I just like get in my own head and I really struggle with it. So I asked like, how else can I make money? 'Cause I suck at Photoshop too. I'm okay at Photoshop. I don't suck, but I'm okay at it. And I was told that Wiki was a good way to do it. So I popped in the Wiki server. And talked to Dermot, white cornerback, who's a good friend of mine. He's kind of low key from the league now, but he gave me some jobs, and it just kind of went from there. And I just kept picking up other jobs. I started doing the history of Arizona because that was the only team available, and then I just kind of dived in through there. We used to have a wiki update task where after every season you would update your wiki page. And you'd do stat tables and you'd add a little, a little story about what happened to you over the season and stuff. And I really enjoyed doing that because I can talk about my player in character. So that's kind of how I got used to how the tables worked and everything. And then just kind of went from there, you know?
Yeah, it's so you talk about the wiki update. Is that something you guys don't have going anymore?
We do not currently do it. I'm not like super high in the wiki hierarchy. I would say I mean, I do a lot of stuff for them. But I have the role super slacker. not just because I asked for the blue name, they gave me that one. No, so it's been talked about. It's kind of a tough issue to solve. So basically, from my understanding, and I could be totally off base with this, the reason that the wiki update task was pulled was just because of low effort from the community, and I could again be wrong from that. A lot of the updates would just kind of be really like low quality writing for the 250 word count that we require. And it just gets to be such, and we don't want the wiki is kind of a passion project. I don't do it. I don't really do like my guy's stuff for any updates. Like I've kept him up to date up to this season. We got rid of this task 2 seasons ago. Just because I love it, and I want to be able to preserve the history of the league, So it's not really, I don't like to do it for the money or the TPE. Obviously the money's great for what I do, but it's more of a passion project and preserving the history of the league, especially now that we've switched sims. We can't just pull up the sim and go to the index on the sim and see all those, top 10 stats or top 10 of all time and stuff like that. Now it's more important than ever to make sure that we can maintain the history of the league because it's really fun to just go back and look at, oh, who has the most touchdowns of quarterbacks of all time? And you can just look it up,
Yeah, that's it's a shame that you guys are. I know you said you weren't 100%, but it's a shame that the lack of effort coming from some of the community. Like, I know for me, I was excited for the wiki page creation when I seen that it was a thing for this league. It wasn't like something that I did only for the point tasks or the rookie tasks trying to get it done. it was, you know, when I seen it was a possibility, I was like, wow, that's awesome. It's, you know, a really cool way to catalog what's going on and to invest a little bit more in your player.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not trying to like say, oh, the community's bad or anything like that, because of course they're not. You know, and that's just kind of how it goes when you put a word limit on something. And, you know, maybe it's something that we rework, that maybe you don't have to have like a word, like a certain amount of words. Maybe it just has to be a certain amount of quality, because I definitely have been to the point where it's like, okay, cool, I've written 200 words. I think it's really good, but I'm 50 words short. So now I have to add filler or something like that, you know?
Yeah. So I can definitely relate to that. I was struggling with a little bit of the word count when it came to filling out my wiki page. Mm-hmm. And I had gotten to the point where I'm like, okay, I'm, you know, like you, I'm a little over 200 or whatever the word count was. I'm 20 words short or so, and going, okay, well, where can I add something else that I missed, or where can I add some filler to just try to make this a little better.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's you know, and maybe that's on us, you know, so it's something that's been talked about. I definitely would love to see it come back. Because I think it's a ton of fun, and I think that people love it. If it does come back, I really hope that people don't just start updating from, you know, the next season. I hope that they do all their backlog stuff. But that's a different can of worms if we're going to do anything like that. So,
well, regardless of the task, I plan on trying to keep mine as up to date as possible, as up to date as it'll allow me to be.
Yeah, yeah. I always just,
I don't know what all.
I just do it once a season. That's how I do it.
Post stats and do a little update about your season. Mm-hmm. So you said you just recently became a general manager. Mm-hmm. How have you found that role to be?
I really like it. It's a ton of fun. And especially being able to do it for, you know, the team that I played on, the team that I won a championship with, the team that I've made some of my best friends in the league on, has just been, you know, it's kind of a dream came true. I know my first season in the league, about midway through, maybe three quarters, I was like, hey, I want to GM this team someday. I've been having a ton of fun with it. I matched up with my good friend GM Guitar Master, who's also a rookie mentor. We kind of have a lot of career parallels. Shouts out to him. He just won O-line of the year, so very happy for him. Yeah, so it's been a ton of fun. I've been loving, you know, obviously I scouted before for Tijuana, but being able to kind of, we do, you know, a deep dive into all our prospects has been a lot of fun. Organizing stuff and kind of building the team, how I think it should be built, you know, whether it's, you know, mainly by a locker room standpoint, because that's what I think is most important, but also by an on the field standpoint, because while winning ultimately doesn't matter, it's still more fun to win than it is to lose.
You know, I mean, I know it's a simulation, but nobody plays, nobody creates a player with the expectation to lose.
Oh, of course.
Everybody comes in and wants to win. So while you're saying there's not much to it, I mean, getting ready to start my first DSFL season, I'll tell you, winning's fairly important.
Oh, no, I totally get it. I guess my more frame of mind is the DSFL is more for developing like a user rather than winning championships. Obviously, I would love to win the championships. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah,
but
nobody's in the DSFL to create a dynasty, but mm-hmm. I get exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to make sure that all my, you know, like this season we sent, I think, four of our true rookies up to the ISFL right away, which is super, super awesome. Like, it sucks for the team because we lose, we're losing six players total, but being able to send four people as true rookies to the ISFL and just how far they've been able to come as users, whether it's, you know, getting league jobs, you know, one of our guys just became head simmer for the DSFL in his first season, you know, so it's just really nice to be able to see people kind of develop like that and get into the league like I got into the league. And that's kind of what I would like to do.
So aside from saying winning is, you know, not necessarily all that important, what has Tijuana got to do to bring home the championship this season?
Oh man. So the draft has not happened yet as of the recording of this podcast, so I can't say too much about that. Obviously we've been impacted with call-ups like all teams are. So I don't really like using that as an excuse or anything. We did lose some big parts of our secondary in we lost both our corners and our one of our star safeties, Shuff Buck and Jew all went up to the ISFL. So getting them either getting replacements for them or figuring out a more solid secondary on the defensive side of the ball is probably going to be huge. Our defense, our secondary was the reason we made the playoffs last season. Super, super important to us as a team is just having strong corners. We Tijuana has kind of been pumping out elite cornerbacks in these past couple of seasons, so it's pretty cool to see that. So that's definitely step one. Step two is to, get some more consistency on the ground game. We did lose our two running backs that we got in the same season in the danger zone, TDZ, Preston Parker, all the same guy. And then Drip Dad, or the Water Father, depending on what you're feeling. If you're feeling formal, you can call him the Water Father. So we'll have to figure that out. But we got Lonnie last year in the sixth round, among a bunch of inactives. It was our turn to draft. We were looking at people and we noticed that he was doing tasks in the middle of the draft. We were like, all right, perfect. We'll take this guy. And he has been phenomenal. I love Lonnie. He is such a good guy. So he's gonna kind of be the main guy. J-Pac, our quarterback, is taking another step forward. He's going to be capped going into the season. But we do need a true number one weapon. We do have two wide receivers, but they're pretty much inactive. They do an activity check just to keep their corpses on the field, but they haven't like capped or anything. So getting him a true number one option to really make the offense be able to move, whether it's on the ground or through the air, is probably going to be our best bet. So
So you guys found an inactive player in a late round that just happened to come on during the draft and has been active ever
pretty
since?
much, yeah, he created. Let me check.
That's got to be a pretty memorable steal
Yeah,
there for
that
you
was
guys.
and I wish I could call it the steal of the draft, but CJ Sonjak, that's probably the steal of the draft because they got him in the eighth round, and he also, I mean, has been killing it. So I'm gonna say Lonnie was because I love Lonnie and he's my boy, but CJ Sonjak ranks up there too as just being an absolute steal.
So I know I'm lacking a little bit of experience when it comes to this. You like I said, you helped me with this, so you know how new I am. What is the cap for the
Oh
DSFL?
yeah, so it's 250 TPE. So you start with 50, right? And then you can earn, once you earn 200 more, you can't spend anymore, but you can continue to earn, right? So if you have, so you
Okay.
can only have 250 of that applied, and then the rest is all bank. So even if you're, 400 TPE as a quarterback, only 250 of that is spent, and the rest is just in your bank. So, that first update, if you're down for a couple seasons, that first update when you finally get called up is sweet because you just spend like 200 to 400 TPE and just become an instant monster.
Yeah, that's good to know because it's not even draft night yet. I'm at 100 TPE basically. I know a lot of the beginning tasks are made, it seems like, to boost you up right out of the gate, but I plan on continuing to try to earn as much as I can. So I've heard people mentioning the cap, so I was just kind of curious what that was.
Yeah, of course. And it's pretty fun once you get there. Some people like to pre-plan in their build, some people like to just kind of wing it. I winged it. I didn't really have a game plan for when I did, but I know some people like pre-plan their entire 250 build, like up to what stats they're gonna upgrade at what points and stuff like that. I was like, man, you're going crazy.
Yeah, I had a general idea. I can't say that I've fully pre-planned, but I did take a look and I have things that I know are important to me. But after going through this scouting process, it became very clear that, there is a possibility for position switches, depending on where I end up going. So, I've decided to just kind of bank the TPE for now and wait till draft night and
Yeah, and
go from
that's a
there.
pretty good plan. If you're open to swapping and maybe you aren't, 100% because you're a defensive end, correct?
Yeah, right now my player is a
Yep.
defensive end.
So if you're not like, oh, I 100% want to be a defensive end, you're kind of open to a couple positions, banking isn't a horrible idea.
Yeah, I picked defensive end because it was my favorite to play in real
Yep.
life when I actually played. So coming in and not having any idea what to expect with this league or even what to do, I just kind of stuck with things close to home for me that were, picking a player that or a position that I like to play, picking BSU as my college because it was, while I didn't go there, it was, my favorite school growing up. So I just kind of kept things close to home for the
Hey,
first player.
that's not a bad idea. I mean, I pretty much did the same thing. I had my player go to the same college I went to. I had him play my favorite position in football, that I was never good enough to play. But that's okay because I still really like it, and that's why I stuck with it. And I pretty much told every team, like, I'm not swapping. I'm sorry. I want to be a corner. And that's back when
Yeah,
corners were not good. So.
I've been pretty open to swapping depending on what the position is. I was pretty clear about that with about anybody I talked to when they asked. I didn't create defensive end and go, yeah, this is where I absolutely want to stay. Like I said, it was just my favorite position, but I'm open to switching around. I really don't have an interest in O-line is kind of what I've been telling everybody, but outside of that, I'm really open to play wherever.
And that's pretty good. I can totally
I
understand
don't.
not wanting to really play O-line. O-line's okay. It's not a super glamorous position, but it's super important in team building. So it's kind of that mixed bag. Takes a certain breed to join the Fair Rubs Club, as they say.
And I was reading somewhere that it seems like a lot of O-line are filled by bots in the league. I don't know if that's just in the DSFL or at both levels, but
It's at the DSFL, it's super common, just because usually O linemen get called up in about their second season if they're like, max earning O linemen or whatever. And
gotcha.
that's fine. I know in the ISFL there's a big push to start bringing in more human O line, mainly because they save money. Because a human O line is going to cost a lot less than a bot O line will in the big leagues, because bots are expensive if you want good ones. If you go with cheap ones, you're just better
Gotcha.
off calling up a DSFL guy.
Yeah, so that kind of influenced me there. I just when I looked at that, I was like, "Oh, I'm not trying to be the lone human player. I know I wouldn't be by myself, but be one of the lone human players trying to compete with the bots in the league, like especially when there's a need for so many other positions, it
Oh,
sounds like."
definitely. Pretty much anywhere on defense, you're going to find a spot that'll love to have you. Offense, it can be a little bit more difficult, just because offense is usually super saturated, QB especially. If that's what people want to play, I always tell them play what you want to play, and you will, if, as long as you're into the league, you're going to find a spot.
Yeah, that's I've been enjoying it so far, and it's glad to hear that you're saying defense seems to be a need because while I'm open to switching from defensive end, I would like to stay on the defensive side of the
Yeah,
ball.
and tell teams that, be like, I'd rather stay on defense because that's what I enjoy, and any DSFL GM is gonna give you what you want because that's our job, right? You might, the quarterback thing, sorry to kind of derail us here, quarterbacks, you'll probably go later in the draft, but that doesn't mean you're still gonna get playing time, you're still gonna be on a team, you aren't gonna go like one overall as a QB very often.
Yeah, I'm not against, like I said, I'm not against that, and I've been pretty open with everybody I've spoken to in the scouting process. I've been scouted by six out of the eight teams. I believe there's eight in the DSFL, if
There
I'm not
are.
mistaken. I've been scouted by six out of the eight. I've been pretty open with all of them about, what I want and what I'm open to doing. So sounds like everybody's got that same mentality. They want to improve the team while kind of knowing what you're open to doing.
Yep,
So
yep. You know,
it's.
like I said, obviously I don't think there's any GM in the league who says, "Oh, I don't want to win," but our first priority, first and foremost, is making sure that users are being developed, and we're getting them to join into the league,
Trying to develop people, keep everybody active, and
That's the goal.
so. So I know you've mentioned Madden a few times. Do you consider yourself a gamer?
I would say I am a gamer, yes.
What are you currently
For
playing?
the most part, I've actually kind of given up. Shout out to this league because it was the first time I haven't bought a Madden game in, or I should rephrase that, a new Madden game in probably like 10 years. But I did just pick up Madden 08 for the PlayStation 3 at an antique shop for $4. So I'll take that, man. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Recently, I've been putting a lot of hours into Civilization 6, just because I really enjoy that game. It's just a lot of fun. It can just kill a lot of time really quickly. I play a lot of RimWorld. I play a lot of like simulation colony type deal where you kind of build up your stuff. But I enjoy Call of Duty, not super often anymore. I play World of Warcraft. I raid in that, so I play that pretty much every week. But we just finished up, so I'm just taking a break from that. So I'm pretty stoked about that.
Yeah, I think that's something that really drew me into this league was I've always played, like you mentioned, simulation, civilization building style games. I've always been heavily involved in playing games like that. And then Madden, of course, I'm just like you. I was buying Madden every year. I still am. We'll see if that holds true after this league gets started. But I'm the same way once a year, every year, Madden since, God, as long as I can remember.
Yep,
So.
that's how they get you, man. I could buy into it when they didn't have the online updates. But come on, man. You don't gotta charge me for this anymore. I'm buying the same thing every year.
Very, very little
Yeah.
new gameplay,
Well,
I've noticed the
I
last few
assume
ones.
like me, you are probably a franchise person. And it's
Oh,
just,
yeah.
I haven't seen anything from it in a long time. And every year, they did that like background thing where they had the coach walking around the back, but I don't care about that,
No. And then they add the, well, I don't even know what that mode's called, the storyline
Fate
mode,
of the
basically. They
franchise.
improve on that every year. Yeah,
But you
Fate
can
of the
only be a
franchise.
QB, so it doesn't even like it's not even that good, because if I can only be a QB, who cares,
And then they put very little effort into the actual storyline once you play it for a decent amount of time and you're out and all of a sudden the cutscenes disappear and you're, I don't know how far you got in it, but after about your rookie season or maybe the next one after that, all the cutscenes essentially disappear and it's just like you're playing any other mode on Madden at that point
Series.
with the occasional text message.
Series. Man, they just it, the effort, those the, such low amount of effort they put in just makes me sad. And it's not gonna change,
Well, and
and that's what sucks.
I use Madden essentially for what I'm doing here with this league. I have certain franchise modes that I've created where I play, and it's actually for me to play, but I have total team builds where I've done nothing but simulation just for the enjoyment of team building and simming through the league. And I think that's another thing that drew me in. This league just seems like something that was made for people that are, like me, like you, that enjoy stuff like
And
that.
that's a one
So
of
I'm.
my sim franchises. My player is named after the quarterback from that franchise because I loved his name, and
Nice.
also he was great. So I was originally thinking about being a quarterback, but then I just, I came in a Reddit class and everybody was like, yeah, probably don't. So.
I did a. I spoke with Painted earlier. It'll be for the same podcast. And he had mentioned the same thing. He was part of a Reddit class as well. Is that something that the league does often?
Semi often. Since I've been in the league, it seems to be about once every 3 seasons. So I think season 22 was the first one. Might have been season 18 was the first one, but season 22 was really big. It was at least their it's the biggest draft class the league has ever had. 200, I think 220 or 250, somewhere in that range. Signed up. Obviously, not everybody stuck around, because then we'd have, 18 teams or something like that. But the, we get a lot of recruits, and then retention is typically about 40%, I'd say 30 to 40%, past their first ISFL season or their second DSFL season if they get sent down. So I was in season 25, and then our most recent one was season 28. Which was the season before your class, which is a lot smaller. And that's due to a couple reasons. And the our post got taken down, which was one of the first ones. So that really sucked. So we had to like we got it up, got all this traction, then it got taken down, then it got re-uploaded, but like it just loses a lot of its traction with that, you know. And then, you know, there was a, you know, a capital event happened on the same day, so that kind of took a lot of eyes away from ours. So
Oh, definitely. See, I'm the way I stumbled upon it, I'm not sure whose idea it was to get started on social media ads, because I'm sure that wasn't free. So I'm sure somebody decided that they were going to invest money into that. But that's what found my got me to find my way to the league.
Wait. Hang on, back up. We have social media ads.
I found you guys on an ad that I was on Facebook reading an article on Facebook.
And we saw one person got recruited by Facebook and we were like, how? We don't understand. But that's so me. Cool.
I was reading an art. I was deep diving through some articles. Like I said, I was a big part of the FCF. I'm not sure if you heard about what that
you
was
mentioned
not,
it but earlier, but I do not know what that is.
Basically, they took sim football leagues, which is kind of what drew my attention to sim leagues, which I'm guessing is probably why the advertisement for you guys found its way to one of their media articles. They took sim leagues and fantasy football and kind of meshed it together. So all the plays were called by users. All the players were drafted by users. The team names were picked by users. Users submitted artwork, team colors, all that. And everything was voted on by a popular vote.
Oh.
So you're controlling basically real players on the field in real time. And you call plays through an app.
Wait, so it's like real people.
And they use real people and you're calling the plays. You and a bunch of users across, you could call plays through Twitch or directly through the FCF app. They just wrapped up season 1.0, which was interesting. They started making some changes towards the end of the year, which a lot of us, at least in my team's locker room, were pretty unhappy with. Seemed like they were trying to take a little bit of the control away from the users and put a little bit more back in their pockets.
But now, I don't mean to cut you off, but if I'm looking at the same FCF, Johnny Manziel is in this?
He was, yeah. He was recruited. Do you know who Bob Meary is?
No, I don't.
He takes like videos and just captions over them. He's done like a bunch of things. He's on like the most recent thing. He was a Buffalo Wild Wings spokesperson. He was doing like the voice of their commercials.
Okay, gotcha.
But he's as being a big time, social media guy. He recruited Johnny Manziel publicly and got him to come to the league. Marshawn Lynch was a big part of it. Richard Sherman, they didn't play, but they were owners
of teams.
That's
crazy. I see Sean Oakman is on here.
Yeah, there was a lot of players that made their way. I don't know if you follow a lot of NCAA
not
at all.
Not particularly. I pretty much just watch the Gophers because I'm a Minnesota guy, and that's not even super often.
Gotcha. There was a lot of players that I recognize, at least from college careers, in the last few seasons that kind of stuck out for me. TJ Edwards and Quentin Flowers were two that popped up quick for me, and I was actually happy because the team I was a part of, the Beast, actually drafted both those players and ended up tagging them, so we were able to keep them all season. That was one thing I didn't like too much about it, was they changed teams like every week, so you had the players that were franchise tagged, and then every week you went through a draft again.
I feel like that would cause like a lot of drama almost, like between the players, because these are like real people, you know.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting to see the way some people reacted. You could tell who's got chemistry. Unfortunately, I think our logo and our team name drew a lot more people in. It seemed like I was a part of the Beast. It seems like they had a lot more fans than the other teams. And they kind of didn't care what the team had to say. Our quarterback would come out and say, "Hey, I'm really feeling a vibe with this wide receiver." And then we'd get a bunch of the people in the locker room going, "Nope, we don't like him. We're going to go this route." It's like, yeah, but our quarterback literally just told you he's feeling it with this guy.
Yeah.
So Anyways, I don't want to get too much
Yeah,
on the
sorry, I
LCFL.
didn't mean to derail, but I was just, that's so interesting to
Oh
me.
no, it was definitely interesting. And if you haven't heard of it, it's definitely something to look at. Season 2.0, I'm sure, is going to be kicking off not too long. So didn't sound like they planned on taking too long of a
Dang,
break.
that's crazy. That's tight, though. That's super cool.
So I got one final question for you, getting back on track here. What is your favorite game of all
Of
time?
all time.
All
Okay,
time.
so this one's a tough one for me. So I'd say purely by hours played, I would have to go with World of Warcraft because I've literally been playing it since I was in third grade, and I'm a college graduate in my career now. So that'll make a lot of people feel old. But I feel like if I had it in, oh God, I hate giving this answer. I feel like I'd have to go with Fallout New Vegas. And I know that's such like a, kind of like, I don't know, typical gamer answer, but I really love that game, man. I am currently 7 achievements away from perfecting it from 100% completion. I've
Oh,
got
wow.
500 hours in it, not including the time I spent on it on Xbox. I think the story is phenomenal. The characters are really well written. Obviously, it's full of bugs, and you got to do a lot of work to get rid of that. But I think that the story it tells alone is super worth it. So it's got to be up there if it's not my favorite. Obviously, I love WoW because I play it. I put so many hours into it. Terraria is one of my slept on. Sorry, I'm giving you a list, and it's not going to stop. I can't give you one, man. It's too hard.
I've decided this is a question that I'm going to ask anybody that comes on with me. So I like that it's kind of putting me on the spot.
Well,
You're just listing
you
them off.
kind
I
of gave me
like
a little bit of a heads up that you might ask this, and I was just like, eh, I hope he just doesn't, because that'll be a tough one. Dark Souls
it.
3 is also up there. I love Dark Souls. Dark Souls 3 is my favorite. People say it's the easiest. I tell them that you're wrong because you've just played all three of them before, and you've just gotten used to how Dark Souls operates as a game. I don't, I do think it's the easiest, but I think it's the easiest for wrong reasons, that people say. But some of the boss fights in there are really, really tough. XCOM 2 is up there. Team Fortress 2, I absolutely adore. It's one of my favorites. And that's all I'm gonna give you because I could give you a lot more. Oh, last one, KOTOR 2, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 2. Super, super good.
That's awesome. I appreciate you taking time out of your night
Yeah,
to
yeah.
record with us and be a part of
Of
this first
course, I'm happy
podcast here.
to.
So
If you ever need me again for anything, please let me know. Yeah, keep going in the league, man. You're doing great, from everything I can tell. Our conversation was great, but you're on the right path, man. And I think whoever gets you in the DSFL draft is going to be very, very happy.
awesome. I definitely appreciate that. And we will definitely have you back on if
Of
that's something
course,
you're
yeah, just
interested
let
in
me
doing.
know.
So.
That's it, guys. That's the show. Thanks for checking out Fan World. I can't thank Painted or Katasa enough. I truly enjoyed both conversations. I found them to be interesting, entertaining, and very well spoken. I appreciate anyone who's taken the time to listen. I've got great guests lined up for next week's show, as well as a breakdown of the DSFL draft. If you enjoyed the show, rate, follow, review, and join our world.